hundreds of thousands of people filling Cairo's Tahrir Square this morning. We were going to be giving you the developments from Egypt all morning long here on The Takeaway. Obviously, the crowd's calling for President Mubarak to resign, something he refused to do during his speech last night. Joining us is our friend Nicholas Kristof, columnist for our partner, The New York Times. Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, you just tweeted a few moments ago, huge demonstrations across Egypt today, government buildings seized in Suez. What does it take for Mubarak to get the message? I'm wondering if you can answer your own question and you have an idea about what it will take.
Well, a friend of mine who knows Mubarak pretty well described him to me as just a stubborn old man. And I know I think that that's part of the problem. I think that dictators in general have just an amazing capacity to delude themselves and to perceive themselves as completely indispensable. And so I think that Mubarak is sitting in his presidential palace. He's getting advice from all kinds of other people who have a huge stake in the system, telling him that he's got to stay, that otherwise Egypt will fall apart. And he may also remember the bread riots under Sadat, when Sadat managed to kind of to wait them out. And so, what does it take? I think that it may take other people who have real stake in the system, and probably that would be leading generals to decide that that at this point they've got to push him out if they want to keep their piece of the pie.
Well, I want to read you a comment that your colleague Tom Friedman wrote in today's New York Times. He said he was felt embarrassed for President Hosni Mubarak as he addressed his nation last night, worried for Egypt. And he says, this man is staggeringly out of touch with what is happening inside his country. This is Rip Van Winkle meets Facebook. Is it possible that Mubarak is really kept that isolated from what's happening on the streets of his country?
Yeah, I think it is. And in fact, I think that I'm always kind of just fascinated by the degree to which dictators can be unbelievably out of touch. And part of it is just the mechanism of state media that lie, that these governments institute propaganda apparatuses that are initially intended to spin out lies to the people, to deceive the people, but they end up echoing back and deceiving the leaders themselves so that they have very little idea of how unpopular they are and what it takes. So, last night you had both Mubarak and Suleiman give these speeches that presumably they thought were actually going to improve things and placate things. But in effect, what they did was they threw gasoline on a fire, and it was just a measure of how remote they were and just how they failed to understand what was going on.
And the people in Tahrir Square were clearly enraged by both Mubarak's speech and Suleiman's speech. And as soon as those speeches concluded, you heard all kinds of people saying, this is it. This is the moment at which the revolution could become violent. Fareed Zakaria saying, this could be the moment when history says the revolution turned. And yet, here we are hours later, and the crowd in Tahrir Square is enormous and yet still largely peaceful. Is there a possibility at this point that this could all end without violence?
Anything is possible. But I guess the places that I would watch for in particular, one would be the presidential palace. There's a growing crowd outside the presidential palace right now, and that is surrounded by soldiers, by tanks, and they, I think, may feel a little more jittery than those elsewhere around the city. So that could be a flashpoint. And also remember that there are these crowds and protests not only in Cairo, but absolutely all over the country. I just saw that there were in Asyut, there were vast crowds. And in a lot of these places, there are police or in some cases soldiers who are armed, are nervous, don't really know what to do, and some hot-headed protesters. And so things can go wrong in a lot of places. And periodically they have, although overwhelmingly it's been, very peaceful so far. But when you have that many people and that many around that many places around the country and things are that tense, then it does make me worry about how things may go.
And we're speaking to Nicholas Kristof, columnist for a partner at the New York Times. I know you just returned from Cairo last weekend, and here you are back in the United States, which is obviously a very different situation. You know, I'm wondering about your feeling for the support of the United States for Egypt. I just got an email from change.org asking me to donate to support the protesters to help them stay out of work so they can continue to protest. Clearly, that's a very different message for the American people than the White House is giving publicly. Do you imagine that by the end of today, we are going to hear a different message from Barack Obama than the cautious tone he's taken over the past 3 weeks?
Well, actually, I think we began to see a change in the White House tone yesterday. To me at least, the White House really missed the boat on what was happening first in Tunisia and then indeed in Cairo. And, that started with Secretary Clinton's comment that when the Tahrir protests began, that, Egypt is stable and that Mubarak is looking for ways to engage the Egyptian people, which, of course, to actual Egyptians was really kind of insulting. And then every step of the way, there's been this just obsession with order and gradual transformation and a real sense of distancing themselves from those protesters out there. That seemed to change to some degree yesterday with President Obama's comments in which he was much tougher than before and really seemed to side more openly with the aspirations of young Egyptians, and then also with a statement put out by the White House after the Mubarak speech, which again was much tougher. So I think that the White House frankly feels that that maybe they blew it and now they're trying to reposition themselves.
Nicholas Kristof, columnist for our partner, The New York Times, just returned from Cairo last weekend. Thanks so much.